This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. Lisa Marie Sharon has made a business out of selling air, but it's water that has changed where she lives. In the mid-1990s, Sharon was living in Toronto when she opened up the first oxygen bar in North America. She brought the concept to the United States, and a few years later, she moved to South Florida. In the aftermath of the housing collapse, she found a home in the Shorecrest neighborhood of Miami. And soon after moving in, she discovered just how close to the water she was.
I wasn't really aware at that point of the low levels in Shorecrest and how vulnerable we were to flooding and king tides.
Alex Summers' dad built Spitfire fighter planes during World War II. He was a British engineer who eventually worked for Ford and found his way to North Miami Beach in the 1960s. Summers followed his dad into engineering and followed his lead and retired in South Florida.
I'm a retired professor of mechanical engineering from the University of New Haven. And now I'm currently chairman of the Sea Level Rise Action Committee, which is concerned with the flooding issues faced here in the Hollywood Lakes.
Ben Olive is a commercial and real estate lawyer in Fort Lauderdale. He grew up in Louisiana and moved here after graduating law school. That was almost 20 years ago.
Historically, I've been on this block for, I guess, more than a decade. Towards the end of October, right on the corner, we will see the king tide effect slowly, incrementally, but surely flood this entire intersection. And that combined with any type of weather has caused some terrible effects on the local businesses, and including some of mine over the years.
His neighbor over the past 10 years has been Francesca Guerrera. She came to the area from Massachusetts, where she owned a cosmetic business. Now she owns her hair salon and spa.
Actually, this is the back of the salon. And if we would have a lot of rain, high tide, etc., this parking lobby becomes full of water.
When Gaytan Myran moved to South Florida, Miami-Dade County's population was less than half what it is today. That was back in 1969. Since then, she has lived on and off in the Highland Village section of North Miami Beach. She owns two homes there now.
From the very beginning, there was a water problem, because the only thing between us and Biscayne Bay is that nature preserve. And so always there's been a water problem.
All five of these South Floridians are dealing with high water, oftentimes brought on by king tides. Water is what connects us in South Florida. No matter where we're from or how we got here or where we live or work, water surrounds us. In this time of year, the rising seas, driven by the pull of the sun and moon, can spill over the edges, bubble up from below, and seep into our lives. Today on the Sunshine Economy, we hear from these five South Floridians living with king tides. We ride in their cars as we tour the neighborhoods, looking at evidence of high water and seeing how some are responding to the threat. We walk along sidewalks with traffic buzzing, hearing how they've adapted their lives and businesses to higher seas and the highest of high tides. We drove around the Highland Village section of North Miami Beach with Gaytan Myran. The neighborhood is made up of older mobile homes and small concrete block single-family homes. It's a rectangular collection of narrow streets dotted with speed bumps, tucked in just east of Biscayne Boulevard. A mangrove separates it from the open waters of Biscayne Bay.
It's very mixed. We actually have a college professor that lives in here, and we also have a lot of disabled people. Turn left right here. Now you can see all these old mobile homes that have been here, were here 50 years ago when I first came in. Make a left.
What does this neighborhood look like on a king tide day?
It's not too bad. We have maybe a half a foot of water. Not throughout, but mostly, that come in through the drainage ditches that they've had made in here for hurricane protection. And that does protect us, because in Irma we had about 3 feet of water in here, and the day after it was all drained out, so the drainage did work. Was a good idea. It didn't seem like a good idea when we first saw it and immediately had a problem with king tide.
About a decade ago, North Miami Beach spent over $1 million installing a stormwater drainage system in Highland Village. During our ride around the area, Maran calls them drainage ditches. While they've helped drain the neighborhood after big rainstorms, Maran says they've allowed waters pushed by king tides into the streets.
You've lived in this neighborhood on and off since 1969.
Yes.
You've owned property here
since
1984.
Right.
What have been the changes in your experience with king tide and nuisance flooding?
From the very beginning, there was a water problem because the only thing between us and Biscayne Bay is that nature preserve. And so always there's been a water problem. But it was all drained the next day after Irma because they had made those ditches, which I'll show you when we get back around the corner. You'll see the ditches. Just look left and you'll see what I mean. The ditches are right there. One's there and one's down there. And
so you're right at street grade. These are wrought iron grates.
And that goes
They're storm
out.
Sewers.
Yes, that goes out to the bay. And of course the problem is when we have king tide, the water comes up. So we have about a half a foot of water in here.
So it hasn't stopped the king tide water from getting in here, but it's helped drain it out.
The purpose of it was if we had a storm like they've had in North Carolina where it rains, sits on you and rains. Before that, it just kept going up, you know, and it wouldn't drain. There was no place for it to drain to. I mean, it would drain, but it would take time. It might take several days. You know, imagine being in 3 feet of water for days. And leave a car in here, it would be damaged, water damaged.
Do you feel comfortable keeping your car here when you know a king tide day is coming?
Fine, yeah, no problem. But I have a van. It's pretty high off the ground, so I don't have any problem at all. And most people can get in and out of here when king tide comes. And we never had that problem prior to the ditches.
So it was dry?
It was dry. Except when we would have, a hurricane or a storm of any kind with lots of rain, then, you know, we had a problem. And that's why the city had to do something, so that the water would drain because it would sit. It would sit for days and it might be 2 to 3 feet of water. So they didn't have much choice. They had to do something, and that was the only thing they could think of was to have it drain out to the bay.
So you did not have king tide problem. You had just rainstorm flooding.
Yes.
Describe your neighborhood after a rainstorm before the storm sewers were installed.
Well, think about 2 to 3 feet of water, and it might be days before it would drain out. And that was the thing with the storm drains. The good thing is the very next day it's the water's gone.
You've got quite an investment here in Highland Village. You own 6 pieces of property, 2 of which have structures on them, have homes on them. You live in one of those homes. It's a concrete block construction. Just going over a speed bump there. Have you had any second thoughts about your investment here in Highland Village, given the king tides, given the flooding challenges that you've experienced in your time here?
Definitely. I was ready to sell out and move out. Because I thought 35 years, that's enough. The king tide, as the water, as our oceans start rising, it's going to be more and more of a problem. more of a problem than it is now. Things need to be done to handle the rising water all over Miami. It's not just here.
Right in around the Highland Village neighborhood of North Miami Beach with Gaytan Myrand. Still to come, building higher, hoping to stay drier.
Towards the end of October, right on the corner, we will see the king tide effect slowly, incrementally, but surely flood this entire intersection.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and supporting WLRN. Ben Olive easily remembers the October day driving through king tide flooding to get to his home in Fort Lauderdale.
Almost 6 years ago to the day, October the 22nd, I can remember it well because it's the date of my daughter Annabelle's birthday when we took her back from the hospital as we drove down this very intersection with a large SUV. We only had to get out of the way of people canoeing by in kayaks and canoes down Las Olas and down Riviera Isle.
Olive has invested heavily along the water in Fort Lauderdale. His home and businesses are concentrated near the intercoastal waterway within blocks of each other and within sight of the water. He's a lawyer and owns several companies, including a high-end real estate brokerage that's housed right next door to his law offices. He rents space for the real estate company, but he owns the building where his law firm is located. When he and his partners bought the one-story building on East Las Olas Boulevard, they had 8 inches of concrete poured onto the floor, raising it up.
All right, Ben, where are we? We're at the 2400th block of East Las Olas, specifically at my law firm, Hackelman, Olive & Judd.
We're here on East Las Olas. We're facing east, just a few blocks away is the Atlantic Ocean. Describe this intersection today, and what does it look like during the King Tide Day?
Well, fortunately, we have a beautiful day here with no rain, no flooding, no issues, no water at all. Historically, I've been on this block for I guess more than a decade. Towards the end of October, right on the corner, we will see the king tide effect slowly, incrementally, but surely flood this entire intersection. And that combined with any type of weather has caused some terrible effects on the local businesses and including some of mine over the years.
What kind of mitigation efforts, adaptation efforts have you undertaken as a property owner on this stretch of Las Olas?
4 or 5 years ago when we purchased the building and renovated it, turned it into our law firm, we raised the foundation by pumping concrete into the 5,000 square foot floor plate. We raised up about 8 inches, which thank goodness, even with the effects of Irma last year, seemed to be of great consequence, because while the neighbors to the east and the west were terribly devastated by the floods of Irma, our property right in the middle, even after lots of tests and contractors and mold experts coming through, have indicated there were no effects of the flooding compared to the neighbors, including I was one of the neighbors as a tenant, had very badly damaged.
As a property owner, you came into this building and you literally created a high spot on this block.
I did. And based on my experience the decade prior, just 50 feet away, we not only waterproofed throughout, but raising the slab and raising it up above the rest has really proven to be the difference. Hopefully that will hold its weight for the next storm, but certainly for Hurricane Irma compared to our neighbors, it was proven to be a fortunate business decision.
These buildings are right next to one another, no space in between. Let's walk over just to what I'm expecting to be this property line here between these two properties, one you own, one you lease. And you can, I think you can see the difference in the slab in terms of these sidewalk facing windows, where the building you lease is, what, maybe 6 or 7 inches above the sidewalk versus the building you own has got to be 10, 12 inches above the sidewalk. And it's starting to rain. Let's duck under the awning here.
Yeah, that's right. It's and that was part of the renovations that we felt it was necessary to have a functional office building where the lawyers, the staff, everyone else could come in and actually operate all year round based on the effects we had seen by the neighbors. That it, had we not raised it effectively, as you say, it could be better part of 10 inches. We could have been faced weeks, if not months, of being out of an office, especially after something like Irma last year, which the neighboring business, Florida Luxurious Properties, after Irma was shut down for an excess of month due to the flooding and mold and other damage.
Walk me through a little bit of the thought process.
I was in an area that may be the worst flooded business in Fort Lauderdale, at the corner of Riviera in Las Olas. Subsequently purchased a home where I'm raising my family a block away, and was interested, for personal reasons, of staying nearby. So the decision to stay here, it was as much of where my home was then located as well as where my businesses had been established and had remained for in excess of a decade. So the reason to stay, notwithstanding some of the environmental factors, was yes, a matter of where I had been, where the business and its reputation had grown over the years, as well as where I'm raising my family. Using some of that knowledge and maybe some of my legal background, had an idea that if we raised the elevation, we would avoid some of the pitfalls that some of the neighbors have. So far, so good, but we may be one hurricane or higher than anticipated king tide season away from feeling the same effects as the neighbors.
Do you feel like you're maybe living on borrowed time? You were able to borrow a little bit more time by raising the floor?
I hope so. We made it through Irma, while the neighbors really didn't. I may be on borrowed time. I may very well be on borrowed time, and only time will tell if the experts are correct in terms of how large this problem will become and how soon it will become a larger problem than the 4 or 5 days a year that it's at its worst here in East Las Olas.
As a property owner and as a business owner here, all in this kind of small environment that certainly feels the effects of king tides and sea level rise, what are some of the signs that you're going to be looking for as you're raising your family in this environment, as you're building your business in this environment, for whether or not you continue to invest to reinforce against those effects or wind up retreating?
Well, it's an interesting question, and it's a fair question. I mean, the rising tide is something that, as we sit here on Las Olas, we're surrounded. Yes, it's a business strip with my law firm and their real estate brokerage companies and hair salons. The effects are something that we don't really know what's going to happen next. But it is something that you can either run away from or you can prepare for. And maybe not in my lifetime will I see this block of Las Olas completely underwater, and perhaps city infrastructure through pumps and other mechanisms that the city of Fort Lauderdale has attempted to put in place over the last 4 or 5 years will start to show that they're working a little better than they appear to be. And I can only hope that they do based on, as I said, I live a block from here. I have several businesses here on Las Olas that we certainly hope some combination of better than anticipated weather patterns, meaning less sea level rise or more infrastructure, if at all possible, by the city of Fort Lauderdale. That combination will hopefully lend itself to at least the balance of my lifetime, seeing continued successful business operations on East Las Olas.
Speaking with Ben Olive outside his law firm in Fort Lauderdale. Still to come on our program, right next door, but a few inches lower, sandbags, a salon, and a spa.
40 days out of the 10 years I've been doing business, it's been a loss.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. Thanks again for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson. Francesca Guerrera's hair salon and spa was a buzz of activity the day we visited. A few clients were in chairs, customers were coming and going. A few construction workers were outside in the back where there used to be a garden, but after one too many floods, it was being rebuilt. To get to the back, we had to walk out the front door of the salon onto East Las Olas Boulevard.
The water comes right up to the door, about probably a foot, and
you're up above the first pane of this window.
Yes. So when, and also if cars drive by and the sort of form of wave hits right to the door, and that's it.
What's the impact on the inside?
Oh, it floods. We have lots of water.
To shut you down?
Sure. We have to sometimes for the day, at least until we clean it. And if it's really bad and it comes overnight, then the next day would be a major problem by having someone come with those dryers to dry the walls and the sheetrock, you know, all that. So that can take days, and sometimes we work around them for 5 days.
Have you noticed a difference in the decade you've been here with the salon?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, it was worse. It's getting a bit better now.
Through a neighbor's office, and we eventually get to what had been an oasis for her spa customers. These are the steps she's taken for her business because of high tides and higher water.
We have to go through here to get through the spa area since we are under construction. So now we're doing all this work.
Describe to us where we are here.
Actually, this is the back of the salon. And if we would have a lot of rain, high tide, etc., this parking lobby becomes full of water. And for that, it goes down right to our backyard. It used to be pretty, not anymore. It's a construction site. And it will fall right down to the back door of the salon and will flood that way. So pretty much we have water from the front, the back, and the sides. And it's been a challenging 10 years. So we've decided, my landlord and I decided that this time to make a change.
The work here that's getting done, was this project driven by your experiences with flooding?
100%. Nothing but it was beautiful and nothing. We had a beautiful greens and pond, and we had amazing sitting area. If you look at our website, you could see. So basically, this was driven from the high tides.
What was the tipping point for you, given that you've experienced a number of these king tide floods and heavy rainstorm floods here?
I don't know. It almost became part of our lives. We get so used to it. Like, oh, let's get the sandbags. It was almost part of our drama that goes with the hair salon. I don't know. It was, it's definitely, I swear, it became part of our lives. And I don't think anything of it. In fact, I get so used to that I'm upset about the build-out.
How so?
It causes a bit of a challenge with clients. So, and you can see now we've separated the spa with the salon by making an entrance from one of my office door.
We walk back through the neighbor's hallway and back out onto Las Olas Boulevard. I asked her what it takes to stay in business when the king tides come.
We are used to with the timing. Every day it goes an hour late, obviously, so it may start at 9:30. The next day will be at 10:30. It's always an hour. I feel it'll be about a foot, you know, the water. And again, if the cars drive really quickly and fast, it'll make a wave splashing right through the door and the water going in. But we always prepared. We have sandbags. You could see them. We always have them ready. We have a bunch of sandbags.
You got them ready already?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
We have sandbags and we put plastic sandbags. And,
does it close the salon?
Protects it. We have to close it down during the day. And obviously after the high tide's finished, we open it up and put the sandbags off the side and start again the next day.
So it's become just part of your regular business planning.
It's crazy. It is, but it's true. So let me find my...
The construction work and traffic continued outside as the hair coloring, blow drying, and styling continued inside to a little bit of a different beat.
It sounds like your experience with the high tides here has just become part of the cost of doing business for you here on Las Olas.
Pretty much, yeah. We plan on it and try not to be disturbed by it or be affected by it. We just completely say, okay, this is happening. We call the clients, we do our schedule. So we just go with it. Have to.
So in addition to watching your bank account and your balance sheet and your appointment book, you're also having to watch the tide schedules now.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. The tide schedule becomes part of our lives. It's been like that for 10 years.
How has it changed business? How has it affected business?
If we did not have this issue, I'm sure the numbers would be a little bit different. If you start putting 3-4 days a year and you add it times 10 years, so now 40 days out of the 10 years I've been doing business, it's been a loss. So if you want to look at it with, you know, numbers, that's how it goes. But I can think that way. I'm sure other areas have different obstacles and challenges. So that's our challenge and we deal with it.
Have you ever thought about retreating because of the water issues?
No, this is a great area. Love where I am. I live right behind the salon. I have a condo right behind. So we made the right decision. We're here, like I said, just a small challenge that we can handle.
Have you made other changes?
Oh, awesome. Changes. Yes, we are.
Let me ask it this way.
Rebuilding and make sure.
How have you made changes in the business or even in your personal life, given that you essentially live here as well?
Well, I put that on my calendar. When, you know, not to travel, when to travel, when to go away, when to stay put. But the best part of this actually build out in the front, what we're doing in the front is actually having new windows, new doors. We're building about a few steps from the front. So this way, if the water comes to about a foot or 3 feet, it doesn't affect us.
So you're going to be building this front part of the...
The front part is going to be rebuilt, yeah. So
built
it's quite expensive. You know, the landlord is spending quite some money. And also we are contributing to the interior part to make sure it all flows back.
Are you raising the floor?
The floors will not be raised. What's raising is the front of the building will have a steps to go up to a landing. And the front will become actually almost the back. And the back of the building becomes the front because of the handicap. Rules of the city.
I see. So you're going to be changing right now when you walk in the front off of East Las Olas, you walk into the salon and then the spa is in the back of the building off of the parking lot.
So the front will have a step up. It will have a few stairs to come up to the interior. Yeah. It will be nice. Somebody can be curious. They can come and visit and look at it.
In October, when the king tides come, in late October, what will this look like?
This will be shut down with some tape. And if you look in the back, I have some sandbags that we put in the front. We just put sandbags. And that's it. And it will look like that for about a couple hours. And we'll remove it, and we pretend nothing happened, and we conduct business as usual.
And how's business?
Business is great. We don't really have much of a slow period. Maybe a tiny, tiny bit, but not really. We're quite busy, as you can see. So, that's it.
I'll let you get back to it, then.
Yes. Look, there's a line waiting for me.
Francesca Guerrera at her hair salon and spa on East Las Olas Boulevard. Now, she says she has noticed the King Tide flooding recently has not been as bad as it was a couple of years ago. In 2016, the tides were made worse by the alignment of the Earth, Sun, and Moon. The city of Fort Lauderdale also has installed valves in storm drains that close, preventing the highest tides from bubbling up into the streets. Still to come, where one neighborhood meets the sea.
There's essentially no protection. So if you have a 2 or 3 foot surge coming, it comes right into this area.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy, King Tides and High Water. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and supporting WLRN. Today, five stories of South Floridians living and working with the highest of high tides, King Tides. I met Alex Summers outside his home in Hollywood recently. It was sunny and dry. We climbed right into his car to get out of the sun.
AC's on, car's cooling off. It's a hot day.
Sure is.
Inside his car, he handed me a pamphlet. It was a visitor's guide and map for his town. He didn't give it to me for the listings of things to do. Instead, he had it open to the map of Hollywood Beach and downtown, and with a red pen, he had drawn dashes marking the route we were going to drive through his neighborhood.
What I'm going to show you here, this is essentially the Hollywood Lakes area.
You're looking at a map here of Hollywood Beach and downtown.
Right,
yeah.
Down here. These are the so-called lakes. This is South Lake and North Lake. This is where we are right now, approximately. So I'm going to head due east, and you can see where the waterways start to come within a relatively short distance of where we are right now.
One, two, three and a half blocks from where we are now.
Summers has lived full-time in this area for 4 years. He and his wife first bought their home in Hollywood in 2008 as a place to stay when they visited from Connecticut. He retired as a mechanical engineering professor from the University of New Haven, and he brings that engineering and academic background to bear as the chairman of the Sea Level Rise Action Committee, a group that includes his neighborhood association and other civic groups in Hollywood. Our drive began heading out toward the intercoastal waterway, soon coming to a canal lined with single-family homes right along the waterfront.
We're going north on alongside the canal, and the canal stops shortly. There's new construction here, which now is being built quite a bit higher than the old homes, which are pretty much at ground level and hence are very vulnerable.
You can see that the builders there have raised up the base level. It's got to be a good 2 or 3 feet right now.
Yes, the new code requires new construction to be 6 feet above essentially grade in this area. This is a lower house, one of the older ones. And you can see the houses right ahead here, essentially on grade, are on slabs, which are just on the grade and have really no protection from any incoming water.
So these new home construction provides kind of a lumpy topography for the block here, where you get the new construction homes that are built up. You can see 6 feet up, a little bit of a hill on the driveway, and next door is an older home built right at grade. Right. The higher homes could be left high and dry with the king tide, but you're still going to get wet getting to them.
You still have to, you're still isolated from the street. You see it here, this is about a 2 or 3 foot rise from the street level. This is an older home with maybe about the same rise. The older, very much older home across the street there, you see, is just on grade.
So flat as a pancake.
There's nothing, no protection.
Nothing to stop that water, which is, what, maybe 100 and 150 yards away?
Yes.
If you remember the Teletubbies TV show for preschoolers from the late 1990s.
Over the hills and far away, Teletubbies come to play.
You have a picture in your mind of what the effect is of the different elevations of the homes as you drive by them here. The Teletubbies had these mounds where they lived, except they lived inside. These newer homes along the Hollywood Lakes, well, they're perched up on top with older homes on lower ground in between.
You see, as we go along here, the newer homes are raised. The driveways go up to a higher bit of property, so those will stay pretty much dry. Here, this is 11th Avenue, is about the current level where king tides have come in. So a year ago, we had about 4 or 5 inches right here. And this is Washington Street, which is, we're now going directly east, and we're heading directly now for the Intracoastal.
I am seeing some manhole covers here. Are these storm sewers? Or are these
storm drains, right, that go throughout the lakes area and drain designed to take rainwater from the area in draining into the lakes. And at the lakes area where they drain, we have what we call flat gates, which are really check valves. So if there's a lot of rainwater and the tide is low, the rain just flows through the check valves and leave the area. But if the tide is high, higher than the surrounding area, the check valves close and prevent seawater from backing up into the storm drains. So they're relatively new. We've had them restored over the last 3 or 4 years, and it's made a big difference. And now with the check valves out there, when the tide is high, it's sealed off. So these, of course, if there's any rain, the rain can't flow anywhere, so you have to wait until the tide goes down.
Soon enough, we get to the end of South Lake Drive, right at the southern lip of South Lake. It was created back in the 1920s as the material was dredged up and then used to fill in the surrounding mangroves, creating today's residential neighborhood. So we stopped and got out of the car.
Let's go leave the engine running. Keep it cool.
It was close to high tide on this day. Tide was about 2.5 feet. The recent king tides were about 6 inches higher.
The glasses are fogging up. It's that kind of day again here.
Yeah, it is. Notice that this is a tremendous amount of erosion here. There used to be a berm maybe 5 or 6 feet high once upon a time, all gone. There have been various attempts to have some kind of a barrier or protection. It's all destroyed.
Nothing now, just a guardrail,
right,
for
so
traffic.
They've thrown some chunks of coral and stuff here. Most of it gets destroyed or broken up or moved when there's a serious surge of water coming through here. But as you can see, there's essentially no protection. So if you have a 2 or 3 foot surge coming, it comes right into this area. And you see we got this, all these old coconuts and so forth. it comes up here. This is all underwater.
This is a yard you're pointing to here. That's right. I mean, there's got to be maybe a dozen and a half coconuts and other palm fronds here. Right. I don't see any coconut palms that they fell from. It's all washed
all
in.
From someplace else.
We got back into his car and continued on our drive. Summers and his local sea level rise committee have pulled together engineers, lawyers, and others working on the problem.
Oh, you'd never know it was October by this heat.
One idea, a seawall that can be designed in a way to add height as sea levels increase, and a seawall that can be mass-produced to reduce its cost. But they also recognize economic realities, paying to protect expensive homes on the waterfront and not necessarily those living further inland. He says they're looking at using localized assessments in areas that would benefit most from the kinds of investments needed to better protect property from rising seas. On the ballot for Hollywood voters this election is a question about borrowing $150 million. If okayed by voters, included in the city's wish list is $12.5 million for 5-foot seawalls, including one where we visited, along South Lake Drive. Still to come in our program, retreating from the high water.
I just said, you know, it's time to get out. It's time to go in and to go up.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy, King Tides and High Water. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and supporting WLRN. Lisa Marie Sharon did not realize the threat of high water in her Miami neighborhood when she first bought her home in 2011, but she quickly realized it.
I wasn't really aware at that point of the low levels in Shortgrass and how vulnerable we were to flooding and king tides. Back in 2011, they were few and far between. It just seemed that every year they started getting worse and more severe.
We were driving toward Sharon's old home in Shorecrest. It's a low-lying neighborhood just blocks from Biscayne Bay. It's on the upper east side of the city, made up mostly of single-family homes.
I was very unaware. It was, I think, the second year where the running joke was, sell now, this is water from property. So you started, you know, we're at the end of the driveway, and I just thought that the sewers were backed up because they weren't cleaning them often enough. And then I realized that it was getting worse and worse and more often. The first thing that I did was I actually sold my car and I bought an SUV. Just because 10th Avenue was, when it was getting flooded, it was getting higher and higher. So that was the first thing. And then I just thought it would go away. But as the years went on, it kept getting worse and worse, and the flooding would stay longer and longer. When there are king tides and even heavy rains, this next block, it is probably the deepest has been up to my knees. And this is this corner right here.
82nd Terrace and Northeast 10th Avenue.
Exactly.
Here.
All of that, you cannot see any pavement whatsoever. And right here is my old home.
It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home built in 1937. She said she bought it because of the high ceilings in the living room, 18 feet, she says, letting in a lot of sun for her art collection. She renovated the home, and after recognizing the threat of high water and king tides, she then reinforced some of her property.
The first year, the king tides were not that bad. It was the second year that I was a little perplexed, and I did ask all of my neighbors around who are very friendly, and that's when they alerted me to the king tides, and it would sit for not days, sometimes for weeks. I dropped all that concrete to raise it up a little bit as well, all throughout the back where the pool is. As much as I tried to raise the driveway, the water had to go where it had to go. So it would go all across my front lawn, all across on the side of the driveway, and creep up to about halfway to 3/4 of the driveway. But seeing that it's elevated, it wouldn't go much past then.
Sharon had recognized the threat of king tides and high water for her property. She had reinforced some of her property against it, but eventually she had had enough and she retreated.
Well, I think that really was the proverbial hair that broke the camel's back. I mean, after Irma, culmination of the king tides and the damage that was done to my home with Irma, that's when I realized that, you know, this is not going away. This is going to happen again. Shorecrest is a very vulnerable neighborhood. And I just said, you know, it's time to get out. It's time to go in and to go up. So with that said, I sold my house. I got out of Shorecrest. I'm going inland and to get away from all the water that's surrounding my old house. And my new house is going to be new construction, and I'm building it probably a good 3 feet above the necessary elevation line.
Sharon is responding to the threat that she has experienced firsthand as a homeowner in South Florida. She doesn't think she would have made these decisions if not for her experiences with the high water in her former neighborhood, the Shorecrest neighborhood. High water for her former neighbors that they are hoping to get some help with.
I really do miss it. It's a beautiful home. It's very charming. But I'm interested in new challenges and new construction, so onwards and upwards.
Sharon has moved on from her experience with high water in the Shorecrest neighborhood. Now, a year ago, City of Miami voters okayed borrowing $400 million, with about half of it earmarked to upgrade storm drains, buy and install flood pumps across the city, raise some roads, and build seawalls in vulnerable areas. Now, some good news about this year's King Tides, at least. Here in South Florida, they have not been as bad as in recent years. The highest of high tides this year are about a foot below last year's high tides and 6 inches less than the king tides seen and experienced 2 years ago. This is according to tide data gathered from Virginia Key. There likely are several possibilities to help explain why. One may be astronomy. In 2016, South Florida experienced a supermoon during the king tides. A supermoon is when the moon is at its closest point to the Earth. That helps pull the tides closer. Another area for researchers is the role of the Florida Current, as it feeds warm water into the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream redistributes the warm ocean waters of the Atlantic to the poles. Mike Sukop is an Earth and Environment professor at Florida International University, and he's looked at how fast the water has been moving in the Florida Current, and found that it slowed down considerably right before the King Tides in 2016. This year, the Florida Current is flowing about 50% faster than what it was just 2 years ago. A slower Florida Current allows the water to pile up along our coastlines, so this year's faster current may help keep the King Tides lower. A slower Florida Current means higher tides, possibly. The worry is that longer term, over decades and decades, the Florida Current may be slowing down as water at the Earth's poles warm up. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter throughout each and every program at WLRN. We'd love to hear from you. You can also look for a podcast of this program and all of our past programs. Just search the terms Sunshine Economy on iTunes. Pilar Ribe is our technical director. Polly Landis is our booking producer. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening today.